From the heart of Montana, this is Big Sky, Small World, Carroll College's student podcast. Big Sky, Small World, I can unhide Montana, tickle to the big
sky. From the heart of Montana, this is Philip Mesa with There and Back Again, a segment where we look at students from non-traditional backgrounds. We're here to talk about their adventures and their experience as students who have lived a life different from their peers. I'm here with Joe Wagner. Joe, you were a non-traditional student. Why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
So, like Philip saying, I'm a non-traditional student, almost in every sense of the word. It started out as a Marine seeking my undergraduate degree. I performed 4 years in the United States Marine Corps, and afterwards, I studied and I got my associate's degree, my bachelor's degree, and then I worked for 10 years as a dietetics professional, as an NDTR, nutrition dietitian technician registered, protected licensure. I worked in every side of the field on that house until I started to become a master's of social work student here at Carroll College. So it's definitely a unique concept because I am pursuing a dual medical license, and then you have all those experiences from the military, including my 2 deployments to Afghanistan.
So coming here to get your master's, what would you say the general demographic of other students getting their master's are like compared to you?
Well, at that level, it becomes a little interesting because we got a wide range of experience. We have some individuals, even right now, we refer to them as specialized students who went right through their bachelor's of social work. And so they came right in at the advanced level standing, and they're only going to be doing a year of that program, and then they're going to be slotted for candidacy to pursue the LCSW medical license. I've worked with some other individuals. They have wide ranges of experiences. IT, there's a few different registered nurses. We have some individuals who have worked in the field but did not have any credentialing. So, and we actually have pretty good veteran makeup as well, as well as from the previous class, so.
I didn't notice that. I noticed that a lot of master students that reached out for this, a lot of them were veterans and they were part of the master's program. It's very interesting seeing that pattern right there. So you were in the Marine Corps, correct?
That is correct.
So all these branches have their own very unique culture. The Marine Corps, it stands out with its own culture in itself. Has that culture carried with you into your student life at all?
So it's complicated. And I mean, you can be candid with it. Sometimes we refer to the Marine Corps as a cult. It's fun to joke about it. But I mean, we very much are in that culture related when you become a Marine. You talk about that from the day you're in boot camp, you enlist in the Army, you're a soldier. You enlist in the Navy, you're a sailor. You enlist in the Air Force, you're an airman. I'm not sure what the Space Force is calling themselves just quite yet, but
we call them plenty of things.
Exactly. But you join the Marines, you're a recruit for 3 months until you earn your Eagle, Globe, and Anchor. And I mean, that's the philosophy there, and it's the entire philosophy the entire time I was in, 2007 to 2011. So you earn that humility, and I've always tried to take that. You earn that respect for other individuals. You learn that small unit leadership. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been a professional now in my field for almost 15 years, but going in out the gate, I'm going to give you your respect. I'm going to try and show you that humility. I'm going to treat you the way that I would like to be treated. And I would hope that you would have that conversation with me if you don't think that's right. But if that's not the case, and I don't get that respect, I wake up a little bit of that Marine and some of that professionalism that I have.
That is interesting right there. I noticed, at least my experience in the Army, identity was very much tied to your job, your MOS. But on that, coming into the school, as the school provided the sort of environment and accommodation for coming in this non-traditional lifestyle?
I'd actually have to say Carroll has been one of the better programs. Another thing that a lot of people don't know, I spent 10 years fighting the VA. as a Purple Heart recipient for my appropriate care and disabilities. Mm. So now that I have them and being able to recognize that, I earned my undergraduate degree, even though I was hard of hearing, I had no accommodations, did all of that. And I could still remember all the various different things, like I would have to sit in a specific spot in the room just so I could hear the instructor. That is not the case anymore. And Carol has been amazing with it. They've worked with me out the gate. They've respected me when I've asked for those various different things. The staff has been amazing at respecting me as an individual and professional in all those various different aspects of me. So you don't always get that, but I really appreciate that from Carol.
That's good. Where did you get your undergraduate?
University of Nevada, Reno.
All right. And then moved on from there. So you decided Carol for your master's. Is there any specific reason?
So we always like to say it's because of the best program. But honestly, I came up Montana way helping out the Salish Kootenai tribe with a Healthy Kids Initiative. And then I was hired as the nutrition director for Natural Grocers here in Helena after I got done with that. And so I've been a big fan on trying to support local first and see what resources were there. And when I found the interest in nutritional psychology, sociology, and behavioral health nutrition, is all like, I reached out to professionals I had worked with in the past, psychologists, psychiatrists? Anyways, whatever they are.
Too many names.
I know, right? All those different medical, social workers, all those various different ones. And I decided on social work. And it just so happened, Carol had been starting up theirs, and I applied. And it ended up being really well because they just recently got their accreditation last year. And, you know, they rightfully deserve it. They really are an amazing program. And I think in years to come, they're going to be leading within the other university systems.
I can see it. I mean, I haven't been here too long, but
I think it's the right team. And that's a big thing, no matter what you're doing. And they have a very, very coherent and open and transparent team that works together. It's just like anything else you do, you know, from that military experience. You got that right team. That's how you create success.
Wanted to go into that a little bit. As far as experience, it doesn't have to be with the military, but you've had a lot of life experience, it sounds like. What are times that you've utilized that experience into your everyday life as a student here that other students might not have the experience or resources to have done?
That's always a really funny one because along with doing all this stuff within the Veteran Service Organization and advocacy organizations, the big three, the VFW, the American Legion, and the Marine Corps League, I'm actually the chief executive officer, the chief financial officer, as well as the vice president. I cover central Montana or central West Montana and Lewis and Clark County. So having those organizational skills, having that good team, having that support from fellow veterans to be able to talk about that sometime. You know, I said as many compliments as I did, but every once in a while, I think just like everybody else, we all like to complain.
Isn't that the truth?
And being able to have that resource, have that connections that are outside of my program, outside of my normal channels, and being able to talk and ask questions, pull from resources that aren't typically pulled from, and to see how things are actually being practiced in play, as well as being able to perform the research at the appropriate level. All of those things play huge factors into success. And I always get the question, we don't know how you do what you do. And it's all like, it's because I got good people around me.
So you pull in a really valuable perspective. It sounds like you have a lot of resources that your program just doesn't naturally have.
I would say they're trying to build, but yes, as of right now, it gets complicated because they don't have the same network. Some people graduate from college. They never want to participate again. You get the email, give $100 to the Alumni Association, but you kind of forget that connection and that importance. I know for myself, a long time I didn't participate in organizations like the VFW and all those various different ones on the professional level. It's the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, the Commission Dietetics Registered, and within the social work field, the National Association of Social Workers. And I always kind of kick myself in the ass. So, because I didn't participate with those for so long, and I missed out on all those resources. But yeah, I would say as of right now, I would not be typical of most students to have this.
So you mentioned kicking yourself over not taking these resources right here. I'm sure there's a lot of students who have had similar experiences to you that might also not have utilized resources outside of them. What's any advice you would give to students like that?
You know, I always say within a certain amount of reason, because I get this is a demanding thing to do. There's a reason why I can't remember the percentage on bachelor's degrees in the United States, but it's 13% for a graduate degree. And so if we take that number in Montana, I think it's like 10,000 people who have a master's degree, give or take a little bit. Been a while since I've looked at the census data. But when presented with an opportunity, as much time as you have available, try to give a little bit back. You get to have fun conversations. You get to work with interesting people. And you get to do fun stuff like this.
Just got to keep the door open like that. Well, I'd say that's some pretty fantastic advice, not just advice that non-traditional students can utilize, but other students as well. Are there any parting words you'd like to give?
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. This was Big Sky, Small World, There and Back Again. Thank you for coming with us here, Joseph Wagner. And hopefully your endeavors are successful in the future here. Thanks for coming by. Thank you for tuning in to There and Back Again.
I'm Allie Olson.
And I'm Delaney Moxon.
And welcome back to Beyond the Scoreboard, where we uncover the stories behind the stats. In today's episode, we dive deeper into the importance of nutrition for athletes. Before we get into the importance of nutrition for athletes, we're going to go over the past sporting events that occurred at Carroll in the past week. On September 13th, volleyball played against the University of Providence, and they lost 0-3. Delaney and I both went to that game, and it was entertaining. It's not like it was a complete blowout. Each round was pretty close.
I thought Providence was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the saves were crazy.
Yeah, their libero had so many digs. It was insane.
Yeah.
I was like, just let the ball drop, please.
Literally, they were so good. Mm-hmm. Our team's really good, too, so.
Yeah.
I was surprised they lost.
Wasn't Providence ranked, like, 15th though, like nationally or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, they're like getting votes and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And then on the 14th, football played against Rocky Mountain College. They won 16-13. They had 341 total yards, 191 passing yards, and 150 rushing yards. Delaney and I were also at that game.
Oh, yeah.
It was really hot out. It was so cold that morning. And then I go to the football game, and it's so hot, and I did not dress appropriately for the hot weather.
Yeah, it was really, really hot. It was kind of like, it made it hard to watch at points, because I was, like, sweating, and I couldn't even focus.
Or, like, the only thing you could focus on was how hot it was.
Yes.
It was a good game, though.
Spencer, the punter.
Oh, the kicker.
The kicker.
Yeah.
He got Player of the Week, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Offensive Player of the Week, maybe?
So he got Special Teams Player of the Week.
Oh, okay.
For the Frontier Conference. He had a 44-yard field goal, the second longest in his career, and he had the game winner with under 2 minutes left. Because that is sort of what the game turned into, just like a game of field goals.
Yeah.
There wasn't that many touchdowns in the game.
There was one, and we missed it.
Yeah, we did miss it. Yeah, we went back to change out of sweatpants and hoodies because it was super hot.
Yeah, and so we missed the touchdown.
Yep. So. On September 13th, men's soccer played at Life Pacific, and they won 4-0, and they outshot their opponents 17-8.
Oh, wow.
And then they also played on the 15th at Westcliff University, and there was a tie 0-0.
Yay.
The goalkeeper also got Defensive Player of the Week, I think.
Juan.
Yep.
I love me some Juan.
Juan got Defensive Player of the Week for 2 shutouts, which I think is pretty impressive at the collegiate level.
Yeah.
As a goalkeeper. So, and they're like at California.
Yeah.
So
California teams are better.
Usually. Well, like not even that, but like you don't know what the competition's like over there.
Yeah.
So it's hard to prepare for a game like that compared to a conference game where you've played them before and you know usually what formation they play in, what play style they have.
Yeah.
Everything. We also have some more sporting events coming up this week at Carroll. Those consist of
women's soccer.
We play on Friday at 1 o'clock against Rocky Mountain, and then Sunday at 11 o'clock against Walla Walla. Yep.
Be there, B Square.
Yep. Boys soccer plays the same opponents on the same days, but their games are at 3 o'clock on Friday and 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Mountain time.
Yep. And then football has a game on Saturday at 2 o'clock against Simpson University, which is a Californian team.
Are they NAI?
I don't know.
Oh, sorry.
didn't look that far into it.
Yep. That's pretty exciting.
Now to tie us over to nutrition, I have a game for Delaney again, but this one is not trivia like last week.
Oh.
This one is a ranking game. So I want you to rank these Gatorade flavors from 1 to 5, 1 being the best, 5 being the worst,
okay,
without knowing the next flavor that comes up.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I'm ready for this. I have strong opinions on Gatorade flavors.
I know. It's definitely a controversial topic between athletes, I feel like, because you either hate a flavor or you love a flavor.
I'm ready to diss on some flavors right now.
Okay. Flavor number 1, orange.
Ooh, okay. 5, you said's the worst.
Yes, 5's the worst.
Okay. I would say a 2.
2?
Yeah.
That's pretty high.
Yes.
But then again, orange is that good, like, anytime it's, like, I don't mind it.
Yeah, like, after you just, like, run and drinking, like, orange Gatorade, like, that hits pretty well.
Yeah.
What about you?
That is very true.
What do you think?
I'd probably put it, like, 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I do like it, and I, like, don't hate it like some of the other flavors.
Yeah.
So, okay. Next flavor, red.
5.
I agree. I hate red, too.
So much.
It's almost, like, it hurts my throat.
I get heartburn from it.
You get heartburn?
Every single time I have red Gatorade, I get the worst heartburn.
Even when I was, like, younger drinking Gatorade, never liked red.
I can't. Like, yep. I hate it.
But, like, my sister, it's, like, her favorite flavor.
No way.
So whenever they'd buy Gatorade, they'd get me, like, blue, and they'd get her red. Or sometimes they'd get 2 red, so then I'd just be mad. But
that's horrible. I honestly don't even think it deserves a 5. I think it deserves,
like, a 10.
Yes, it's horrible.
It deserves to not even be made anymore.
Yes.
Which, I feel like red is that controversial flavor.
Yeah, I feel like
you either like it or you don't like it.
Yeah.
But, like, at the stack, I'm never choosing the red Gatorade.
Oh, I didn't even know we had it.
I think we do. Oh, wow. It's either red or lemon lime.
Oh, it's like the G2.
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder if I had it, because I haven't had it in like 5 years. I wonder if I if I would like it now. But I'll probably get heartburn.
Maybe we should bring in some red Gatorade to the next episode.
Yeah.
And see how
taste test. That would be awesome.
Okay. Flavor number 3, Cool Blue.
Ooh, I'd say like a 3.
Yeah. That one would be higher for me than orange, so okay. I'd put it at, like, 2.
Okay. That's pretty valid.
Mm-hmm.
It's a decent flavor. I just like orange a little bit more, but it's still good.
Yeah. I just like how refreshing the cool blue is.
Yeah.
It just seems really refreshing to me. The hard thing, though, is that there's, like, 3 different blue colors of Gatorade, so you have to make sure you get the right one.
That's true.
Okay. Next one. Grape.
Oh my gosh. Is that the white one?
No, grape's purple. White is white cherry.
Oh, okay. I've never seen grape. I don't think.
You've never seen grape?
No. Is it purple?
Yeah, it's purple. Well, it's like a really dark blue purple.
Oh, wow. I've never had it, but grape is my least favorite flavoring in anything because I always had like cough medicine.
Yeah.
So I would rank it like a 9.
Just kidding. Red is at 10, grape is at 9.
Yes.
Grape is my favorite flavor.
No.
Uh-huh. I'm literally going to get shunned for that, but grape is my favorite flavor.
Allie's canceled because she likes grape.
But I would put grape at number one.
Okay.
I don't know why I like it so much. I just do.
That's horrible. Okay.
Yep. And then this one, I sort of like screwed you over with this last one.
I'm waiting for the
you have number one left?
Yeah.
What? It's cucumber lime.
Oh. Is that the one at the stack?
No, that's lemon lime. Cucumber lime is literally like the grossest thing in my life.
Oh.
It's like a light green color.
Ew.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
so. That's your number one.
Okay, but in reality, it would be the lemon lime. I love lemon lime Gatorade.
I like lemon lime too.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
What are you putting the
cucumber lime?
Yeah.
I have like 5.
Yeah.
Left, I'd put it at 5.
Okay.
Or maybe 4, since red is 5.
Do you like the white cherry one?
I think it's okay. That one also sort of burns my throat.
Yeah, that one I get like a headache from. Like, I don't
it's like too overwhelming for your senses.
I don't know what it is, but I get heartburn and headaches from those two flavors. Like, I literally do. It's horrible. I hate the white cherry one.
Have you ever had... It's like a teal color. It's called Arctic Blitz.
Yes.
That one's really good,
too. I like that one, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or there's a melon one. It looks like orange.
Stop. Is it strawberry melon?
No, it's just melon. So I think it's like cantaloupe or something.
Yum. Wait.
I also really like that one.
I think there's a strawberry lemon one. Or wait, melon.
I have tried the strawberry flavor, uh-huh. And it's just too sweet for me.
Okay. Strawberry melon Gatorade. There is one. That sounds so good. I'm pretty sure I like it.
What does it look like?
It's like pink.
Oh.
Strawberry watermelon. I used to get that all the time.
It looks pretty and it probably tastes good.
Yeah. So. All right.
Okay. Well, that was a game.
That was fun.
Now we are going to talk about the importance of nutrition and fueling your body. So, Delaney, what is so important about nutrition as an athlete?
Oh, goodness. Okay. I feel like it enhances your performance.
For sure.
Like,
energy levels up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like when I have like an unhealthy food before practice or like before a game or like the night before, honestly, I don't even know if I would perform bad, but, like, mentally, I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Mm.
Like, I'm going to be slower. I don't even know if that's true or what, but if I eat, like, a super, like...
heavy meal.
Yeah, yeah. Like, a burger the night before, even if it's the night before, I'm, like, kind of in my head. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be slow. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that, like, I never do is I don't eat before a game.
Really?
Like,
I remember that from state. You didn't eat anything.
Some of it is because of nerves.
Yeah.
Like, if it's, like, a really big game, I'm so nervous that I feel like I'm going to puke if I, like, eat.
Yeah.
And the other part is that, like, if I do eat something and then I run a whole bunch, I am going to puke.
Yeah, literally. I don't like eating before games. That's why I hate late games, because then I mm-hmm. am forced to eat something, but I need to
or
eat, like, 4 hours before.
At, like, the worst time. So, like, 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
You're starving because mm-hmm. you want lunch.
Exactly.
But you don't want to eat before the game.
Yeah.
Especially if we're in the locker room 2 hours before.
Yeah.
Like, you're not eating during that time.
Exactly. I like the early games so then I can have, like, a granola bar.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be interesting to, like, look up what do, like, professional, like, athletes eat before certain, like, games and, like, what time their games are at. Because I know it's probably, like... you should eat something heavy, right? Not super heavy, but like
eggs. I think it's just like you need to put certain nutrients in your body. So a lot of carbs, because They hold energy a lot longer than sugar or something. So you have long lasting energy then.
Yeah.
And then protein, of course.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite go-to? Like if you have to eat before a game, what would you eat?
Probably just like a Nature Valley granola bar.
Really?
Like.
Yeah.
One thing at Nationals over the summer, we had multiple games a day. And it's like 100 degrees. One day the UV was like 13. So you're just exhausted and spent the entire time.
Yeah.
One thing that I did find that like didn't really bother me if I did eat it before the game started was an acai bowl.
Oh, yum.
Mm-hmm. But I don't like acai. And so it was like a matcha smoothie base.
Yeah.
And then I put like some granola and then just some like fresh fruit.
Yeah.
So it's still like relatively lighter.
Yeah.
It's not like greasy or cooked or anything like that.
Yeah. I remember the last state we played in, we went to lunch like probably 35 minutes before warmups. And yep. I got chicken nuggets. You got chicken nuggets too, right?
Yeah. I got chicken tenders and fries. I think you got chicken tenders in a fruit cup or something.
I think I ate
one chicken strip by the time you were done eating.
I think I ate mine in a solid like 25 seconds. I was so hungry and I felt so unwell during that game because yep. I ate a lot right before.
But then we won, so.
Exactly, and I scored and had an assist and we won 2-0 or 2-1?
It was 2-0. I didn't let any goal in.
Yeah,
shut out. It was the chicken strips.
It was. We're the dynamic duo. I score goals, you save them. Boom.
Yep. Oh, another really important thing, like, this isn't just for, like, athletes, is that you don't eat too fast.
Yeah.
Because you eat too fast. You eat too fast, all of a sudden your, like, body catches up to you, and you're just, like, super full.
Yeah.
To the point where it's, like, uncomfortable. If you eat slow, sort of like give your body time to actually realize that it's full, then you won't eat as much.
Are you telling me this right now?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I actually need to work on that. Also, like, I don't know, I tend to eat a lot more too because like I'm not full right away because I like scarf it down.
It takes a second for your body to actually realize that you're full.
Yeah.
So like, if you just scarf it, grab some more and scarf it.
No, like I'm literally scarfing for 30 minutes and then it hits and I'm like, oh, I could have ate, you know, 20 things less.
With nutrition also comes the idea of like dieting. So it's always the idea you have to be on a diet and you have to work out to be able to lose weight. I think that dieting is helpful, but also some diets can be pretty harmful to your body. One that I can just think of right off the top of my head is the keto diet.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's no carbs. You're getting no long-lasting energy for your body if you don't eat any carbs.
Yeah.
I had a health teacher, this was like in eighth grade, I think, that said that like she called the keto diet the zombie diet because really? They just like don't have any energy to do anything.
Yeah. I just feel like dieting and like finding the diet for you is so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like especially like if you're like, I just think athletes specifically, like not, you know,
mm-hmm.
other people trying to lose weight, gain weight, but like with like lifting and like athletes, I feel like it's so hard because there's like so many things to it, like protein, carbs, this, that, and it's like, how are you trying to like, because you need to try to gain muscle but not gain
mm-hmm.
weight and like stay lean and
yeah.
like I just ugh.
And you also still need to like sustain nutrients while working out.
Yeah. I feel like it's so hard to balance. I want to like go to a nutritionist or something and like get a diet like.
Yeah. Well, like I sort of just like go through my life with like everything in moderation.
Yeah. That's
like,
smart.
And this is like sort of off topic, but sort of not. My senior project was on preventative cardiology.
Dang.
So it's basically like everything you can do to prevent your heart from decaying.
Yeah.
And so part of it was exercise and part of it was diet. And I interviewed a cardiothoracic physician's assistant out of Spokane.
Oh my golly.
Yeah. And she was like, really just, it's important to take everything in moderation. If you have one cupcake at a birthday party, that's not going to mean that you're going to get heart disease when you're 80 years old.
Yeah.
But when you consistently have a cupcake every single day for the rest of your life,
yeah,
like that can obviously cause some problems.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't even have to be sugar. Too much of anything can be bad for you.
Yeah.
She also taught me something else really interesting. There was a recall, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think it was like in the 1920s or something. And there was a recall on like fat in certain products, but they still need to make the product taste good. And so all that fat was then replaced with sugar, which is really unhealthy for you. And then I think also something that's like not really true for like people trying to choose like the healthier option is like diet sodas. Compared mm-hmm. to regular sodas.
Yeah.
Like, diet sodas have a huge amount of aspartame in mm-hmm. them, and those, like, have sort of been seen to be, like, linked to a higher risk of, like, cancer.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Dang.
Like, pop or, like, other things, diet things, doesn't completely mean that it's healthier for you because they still have to replace it with something.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's just, like, I feel like it's the next step to being great. Because I feel like if you're, like, a great athlete, but you eat, like, crap, mm-hmm. you're not going to, like, reach your potential.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's also so hard because it's hard to find, like, healthy options in, like, restaurants and, like, athletes that are on the road. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
late night
games. Especially
now
with how expensive everything is.
Yeah.
Like, it can be more expensive for a family to cook a home-cooked meal
exactly.
compared to just running through McDonald's really quick.
Exactly. So, like, expenses, like, accessibility, just, like, all that stuff, it makes it really hard. And lack of knowledge, too. Because, like, even, like, stuff you're saying, like, wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I feel like
and
there's so much.
And I wouldn't know if my senior project wasn't on it.
Exactly.
So.
I feel like there's so much that we don't know and that, like, no one really talks about nutrition, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ever. I mean, it's always like, oh, I need to eat healthier, but, like, what does that look like?
Yeah.
Because, like...
And, like, what are you doing to actually eat healthier?
Exactly. Because, like, oh, I need to eat more protein to gain muscle. Yeah, you're eating protein, but then, like, what about the fats and sugar and carbs mm-hmm. and, you know?
Because, like, I don't think you can just completely cut one, like, nutrient from your diet.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, like, the no-carb diets are not healthy for you.
Yeah. So I feel
like... You
just
have to learn a balance for everything.
Do you know if the My Plate or whatever is, like, valid?
Oh, the, like, a quarter of your plate should be grains
yes,
and, like, a
yes.
half of your plate. Isn't, like, half of your plate is, like, fruits and vegetables, a quarter is, like, grains, and then, like, another quarter is protein. And then they have, like, a little circle right off the edge, which is, like, dairy.
Yeah, dairy.
What else is there in it? I think
that was it. Yeah. But I wonder,
like,
if that's, like, true and valid.
Yeah. I'm sure it's relatively true.
Yeah.
But I also feel like it can change from person to person.
Yeah.
Because, like, fruits and vegetables are super important because you get vitamins and everything from them.
Yeah.
Protein's important for your muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Milk is important, and dairy is important for, like, your bone health and everything.
Yeah.
And then carbs are important for your overall energy. That's why you see sports teams have a carb feed the night before a game.
Yeah.
And everything.
Mm-hmm. Takeaways from today, eat healthy. But research what that means.
Just kidding. Or takeaways from today is just know what your body needs personally.
Yeah.
And take everything in moderation, I guess.
Boom. Mic drop. Seriously. That's good.
Yep.
And eat slower, everyone.
Yep, eat slower.
At Delaney Moxon.
Yep.
Catch me not scarfing my food down at the stack.
It does sort of suck when, like, everyone else is finished eating and I'm still there just...
Yeah, so I'll
eating.
Eat slower so then you don't have to rush or feel uncomfortable.
Thanks.
Because that's so facts. Everyone,
yep.
I eat so fast and then I'm just staring you down. Like,
yep.
And then I have to go get more fries. And then that's not healthy. So.
Yep. I'm Allie Olson.
And I'm Delaney Moxon.
And thanks for listening to Beyond the Scoreboard. Next episode, we will be discussing the importance of captains. But until then, keep on exploring the game beyond the numbers.
Thank you for tuning into Big Sky Small World. The music is by Alex Coulter. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at bigsky.smallworld.
That's tough. I like this one.